This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hi, this is David Cone. The Michael K. Show starts now. Don't screw it up, boys.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, July 20th, 2021. The whole gang is back together and better than ever. I actually tweeted out today, I'm back joining Don LaGreca today, and I feel terrible that I left out Peter. I didn't know that Peter was still with us.
I thought he was off too for some reason.
I did too. I thought he was off all week, somebody said.
No,
I'm thrilled
sorry
that you're not.
No. I don't think I take a full week until mid-August.
Really?
But I'll try to sneak some days in here and there. Don't you worry about it.
No, not worried at all. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. We're going to start with the Mets today and a wild and wacky game last night. And I got to be honest, I was tired yesterday. Oh. So after they tied it up, the Reds I'm talking about in the 10th, I just turned it off and I went to bed.
You were sick.
What do you mean I was sick?
Sick that the Reds had tied it.
Very much so, because I like conclusions in my life.
Right, that's hard. You stay up and then you get it. It wasn't that late.
I was very tired. I'm sorry. I'm older than you.
Yeah, but not by much. I'm sorry. You can't give me till like 11?
I was tired.
Even the oldest person on earth stays up for the news.
I wanted to stay up, but I also wanted to go to bed at 7 o'clock in the evening, and I decided to make myself stay up a little longer. Why are you jumping me? I was tired.
No, listen, I get you're tired. I know from tired. I could nap right now.
All right, so I decided to go to sleep. And you know what? I knew I'd watch the DVR portion, and I'd see that Conforto hit a home run. I'd see the whole thing. Pilar hit the 3-run home run.
Hey, listen.
But that was not the story of the game that they won. The story of the game is how they got there. The story of the game was the 4 errors they made. The story of the game is the fact that Edwin Diaz has blown 3 straight saves. And right away, Met fans jumping off the Edwin Diaz bandwagon. Now, I understand he has not pitched well. I get it. But where are you going? As Don said, who are you taking out? Well, the opposite of that. Who are you putting in? Who's closing?
Right.
Familia? Lugo's been terrible. So you're going to ride it until you go out. And if you spend silly money and get Craig Kimbrell, he's your closer. That's all there is to it, Don. He's your closer.
For now. Well, you know, okay. He's blown 3 saves for the first time in his career. So it's an issue. So the question is, I'm with you. You're not going to trade for another closer. But, you know, I don't know about tonight because he pitched yesterday, but whatever his availability is going to be. But the next time he's available, would it be the end of the world if you maybe tried Familia?
Could be.
I don't know why you got to keep trotting him out there until he figures it out, because these games are all very important. So I'm kind of betwixt the between here as far as, like, there's the one side of me that's disappointed, but at the other side of it, I still think he's a good closer, and I'm not going to throw him out. But when you struggle, sometimes you've got to go with somebody else. And that might be a good idea the next time there's a save situation to see if Familia can do it. And if he does it, then you continue to do it again. I'm sorry. Nobody's on scholarship. These games are all very important. They're trying to hold on to first place. So I have no commitment to Diaz's career other than him forwarding the Mets' chances of making the playoffs. So whatever is going to get me a win at the end of the day, and then eventually he'll try to figure it out. But not at the expense of the Mets winning games.
No, I would agree with you. I would agree with you, but, I mean, I just love the blanket. That's it. He can't close anymore. Well, you have to work him back where he can close, like what the Yankees are doing with Chapman.
Right.
That's it. Now, maybe you don't close him the next time he's available and they have a closing situation. But I'll tell you one thing. This little engine that could is resilient. You put all the parts together and it doesn't seem like it should be a first-place team. They're lucky. They're fortunate. They're in a division that doesn't have great teams in it. And they continue to persevere, keep their head above water. The offense has been reignited with 7 home runs yesterday. I mean, I think the 3 of us could probably hit a couple of home runs at Great American Ballpark, but that's beside the point. And they they're gritty. They're gutty. They're determined.
Yeah.
Kevin Pillar said, you know, we're built for this. It seems like they are. They have no names coming up and doing a good job. Now, they're going to have a little bit of a problem. I wasn't on yesterday with Don. Losing Lindor for 6 weeks is a big deal. And you saw that yesterday with Guillorme committing three errors at shortstop. They don't have a real, true shortstop. That's a problem. And I keep hearing, well, maybe they should go out and get Trevor Story. Really? So then what happens? So when he comes, well, we'll shift them to third. He's never played another position in his life on a regular basis. This isn't A-Rod and Jeter. Chris Bryant. Okay, maybe Chris Bryant's the answer. But you are going to have a huge hole in your defense without Francisco Lindor. Huge.
Yeah, but, you know, he should be back, hopefully, before the end of the season. But they've got some things they have to do. Last night's so interesting to me because there's the old curmudgeon Don LaGreca who's like, this team is just so flawed. Four errors, their closer's blown three consecutive saves. You know, they can't really get any starters out there to stay healthy. This team's flawed and needs to fix this quick because July 30th, after that, you know, how are you improving your team? And I think that they owe it to this fan base to see this through. Because you're still in first place. It's still a wide-open National League. The Dodgers aren't great right now. They've lost their starter. San Diego has been okay, not fantastic like we thought they were going to be. The Giants are shocking a lot of people. The Brewers are very good. And outside of that, there isn't really much in the National League. So you want to see this through. So they've got to improve this team. But at the same time, Michael, the younger Don LaGreca, that's one of those forever games. That's one of those games you're always going to remember. There's a certain age group that's going to watch that game that, like, decades later, they're going to tell their kids about this 15-11, 11-inning crazy game. So can't both be true that the team's flawed and needs to improve? But at the same time, what a gutsy win. What a fun win. Since that absolutely gut-wrenching loss on Saturday, they've come back from huge deficits, back-to-back games, and won. So can both be true?
Yeah. They really are entertaining. It's hard not to look at them that way. They get it done somehow. This team is not good enough, in my opinion, to be in first place. But are they better than the other four teams? Yeah, they are. And it's funny, interleague play makes strange bedfellows. Yankees playing the Phillies tonight. Who are Met fans rooting for? They're not rooting for the Phillies, I'll tell you that. They're rooting for the Yankees tonight.
You have to. I know you're not going to have any love for the Yankees, but, you know, the Phillies are on the come here. And the thing is, the Mets are still better than those teams in their division, especially the three that have a chance to catch them. But that may not be the case a week or two from now because they're all looks like they're going to be buyers and try to improve. So it's very fluid. It can change in an instant. This lead could disappear. We could get to the trading deadline, Michael, and they're chasing Philly. They've got to hold on to this as best as possible, and the only way to do that is to try to improve and make some deals.
My question is, how is it the Mets overachieve so much but cannot get a series from the Pirates?
They're lucky they didn't get swept.
I know.
This is a recurring theme. Yeah.
Sometimes
teams have your number. I thought they were going to lose that game Sunday because, you know, the Pirate closer seems like he has their number. Then Conforto hit, I think, one of the biggest home runs of the season for them. That was gigantic for them to win that game and not get swept. Yeah. And then they were down yesterday and they end up coming back. This team is resilient. Now, it's funny, and maybe I'm not in the position to best opine on this, but the tweet yesterday from Steve Cohen, it just makes me feel kind of hinky. I mean, what are you doing, Steve? Or what should we do, all you GMs out there? Should we pay a higher premium now or should we wait and the price drops lower closer to the trade deadline? First of all, that's not true.
Yeah.
That's not true. The closer you get to the trade deadline and people smell desperation, it's only going to go higher. And I think he uses his Twitter forum kind of like as a, you know, kicks and giggles for him, but I just don't think there's a place for it. I just don't. I mean, you could sit there and you could say, well, you know, I'm informing my fans. No, you're not. You're toying with them. And also, you're putting your GMs in a bad situation because you're kind of like tipping your hand. Well, will they pay more now or will they wait till what's he doing, Don? And as a Met fan, do you like it? Because as a Met fan, you have to love the fact that he's got more money than God.
That's it.
But
I mean, I don't know the
way he goes
Adam.
About it is tough, man. It gives you the weird feeling.
The best thing I could say about Steve Cohen, he's not a Wilpon, right? That's what he's got going for him, and he wants to spend money, and that's what I really like about him because now the Mets are a big market team like they were supposed to be all these years. But, you know, at the same time, I don't think we should really read too much into it than him just having a good time. I think he realizes, being a part owner of the team with the Wilpons weren't known for being out there. They weren't known for engaging their fans. He grew up a fan, so he feels like he's one of us and wants to kind of relate to us. But it doesn't mean anything. Like you said, I thought the same thing. Listen, whatever you got to give up on July 20th is the same as what you're going to give up on July 30th. 10 days isn't going to make that big of a difference.
Might be less.
You know, so really the question is about, you know, how much you're going to pay now as opposed to if you made a deal during the offseason or something. But this isn't June. I mean, we're 10 days away from the deadline. Whatever you're going to have to pay now is what you're going to have to pay on the 30th before the deadline's over. But he's just engaging his fans and trying to get into conversation. Some of it I don't like. Like, I didn't like the remark about, like, somebody had tweeted out that they love PNC Park because of all the restaurants and things to do around the ballpark. And wish City Field was like that. And he tweets back, well, you can get your car fixed. You know, so he's kind of snarky and sarcastic, and I think he's just trying to have a good time. But there are people that are really emotionally invested in this team and want to engage with an owner in more of a serious fashion than just messing around, right? I mean, because we've been fans our entire life. We were fans way before Steve Cohen even thought about the Mets, you know, as being an owner. And we're going to be fans a long time after he decides that he's done with this and decides to sell it for $1 billion.
Well, then you take a big hit.
Right, but you know what I mean. It's just that I love the engagement, and he's having some fun. But at the same time, people take what he has to say seriously because he's the owner of the team. So don't use this as a forum like, oh, I'm bored right now. I'm at Jiffy Lube getting my oil changed. Let's have some fun for the next hour with the fans. I mean, people take this stuff seriously, and certainly the people that cover the team take it seriously. And you want to know that this is something that he is really taking serious.
Don.
Because we love him because he's not the Wilpons and he's got money. But so far, the jury's out as far as making the right decisions and doing all the things that need to be done to get this team where they need to be. The Lindor move was a good one. But all the fans are going to judge him by, Michael, is how many championships they get, how good the team ends up being. That's why we want to see the money spent. That's why we want to have an owner that's going to do the necessary things to help us win.
I got to tell you, I never give opinions on stuff that I really don't know that much about, but I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think Peter will support me.
Go ahead.
I would bet everything I own, everything, the whole kit and caboodle, that when Steve Cohen needs a lube job at Jiffy Lube, he's not taking the car himself. He's not sitting there in the waiting room at Jiffy Lube. He's just not.
So we're breaking down analogies now.
No. I'm just saying he's not at Jiffy Lube.
But that's where I was today for 2 hours, okay? So that's
well,
what I was.
Well, you don't have people. He has people.
I don't have people. And
Jiffy Lube for 2 hours. That's not so Jiffy.
No.
That doesn't sound Jiffy.
No, it's just lube.
Has anybody noticed that the 10-minute oil change is no longer a thing? Because they can't do that anymore. It's not possible.
Why not?
Because it takes longer than 10 minutes. They'd lose all their money if they guaranteed that.
But then they've got to change the name of the place to Lube. Jiffy
just
means
lube.
Jiffy is not 2 hours.
Listen, I got a lot done because it's the 21st century. I had my phone. I tweeted out ideas for a top five, and I was able to get one. I was able to tweet out about the Mark Sasso stuff. I was able to get a DJ for the event. I did a lot of things, but that's...
You didn't even ask me for DJ help, Don.
Well, because you're playing, aren't you?
No, not for me to DJ, but I would have found one for you.
No. Willie Wilson's available.
You got Willie Wilson?
Yeah.
Billy Bill, if you will.
And so I got a lot done. What I'm saying is, like, you did it during the rain delay. You could use the same analogy. During the rain delay, you tweeted out answering questions.
Yeah, but rain delay, Jiffy Lube is not 2 hours. Jiffy is not two hours, Peter. But, am I wrong? Am I right?
You think they'd go with the name, just change their name overall to Just Lube?
Yeah, but then you're getting different customers coming by.
It's a great point.
Maybe some
the nudes owners are back,
right? And maybe and then the people that are waiting aren't going to be tweeting and reading books. They'll have something else to do.
That's right.
While they're waiting, maybe when the car's done, they'll say, "Give me another minute." But
well, you have to light for
My ultimate thing with Steve Cohen is just don't take it seriously. Don't treat it as news. I think he's just killing time. I think he wants to engage the fans. He's kind of awkward with it because I think he looks at it, and these are our fans. We're going to have some fun with our fans. And I know he grew up a fan, but I think he needs to understand how seriously this stuff gets taken. Now, whether that's right or wrong, sports are supposed to be the candy store, but Michael, you know, or the toy store, that that's not the case for a lot of fans. They live and die with this team. So we had the same conversation when Sandy was snarky back in his original time here, talking about how cheap the Mets were and getting gas driving down to Florida. We didn't like that then either. Because, like, listen, though, the fans want – they take this seriously. Maybe they shouldn't, but they do. And they want to know that there's an owner there that through all the fun and games, that at the end of the day, he's going to do what's best for this team to get them their first championship in 36 years. That's the end game, right? That's all that anybody wants to see at the end of the day.
There's just something about his tone to me on Twitter – and I, that just plays is so annoying and out of touch to me.
Plays is like talking down to the unwashed masses almost.
But you know what? But whenever I call him out on Twitter, all of the Mets sycophants just come after me.
That's the way it is.
They've decided he's their guy.
You know
and
how self-loathing works, Peter.
Yeah, I guess
like,
you're right.
If you're allowed to make fun of the guy or you're allowed to have a problem, but if somebody on the outside does it, they're very protective.
Right.
Met fans are very protective.
Tim Ramsdell brings up a great point on Twitter. He said, I heard when Cohen needs an oil change, he just gets a new car. And you know what? It's probably true. Now, before we take phone calls, and we want to take phone calls today like Alexander Graham Bell envisioned when he invented the thing. 1-800-919-3776. Peter, I got to ask you this. So a big part of the WWE weekend was that John Cena appeared again.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that I thought, now correct me if I'm wrong, movie career's not going that well if you're back in the ring.
Oh, I
don't
know.
Fair or not?
No, not true. Not even in the least bit.
Then why is he back in the ring? For what reason?
The relationship is forever with him, and he always has planned to come back at different times, and this has been a really long break for him. And I think that they probably figured out a good time to come back would be after the pandemic, or at least after the pandemic had shut down live shows. And this was just the time that made sense was for him to come back at this point. And my guess is the setup will be is we'll see him main event at SummerSlam, which is outside at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. But, no, I don't think he ever wanted to leave permanently. I think he's been doing well in movies.
Does The Rock come back?
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't now in the last few years, but prior to 3 years ago, he was back pretty regularly for 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, I just don't get it.
But they love it.
You're condescending, and you don't even know you're condescending.
I'm not condescending. If you're a big movie star, what are you doing it for?
No, because you're making it seem like that wrestling is like a stepping stone. Like, he's done with that.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
Why would he go back slumming when he's now a movie star? No, he's a wrestler.
No, he's a movie star now.
No, but you could be both. Like, so you think that he only used wrestling to become a movie star?
What is he, a
Somerset Patriot? Now he's moved up to the Yankees? No, yeah. This is what he is.
All right, so Aaron Judge, you know, used to play for Scranton or whatever minor league
team. That's my point.
But that's
you're treating WWE like it's Scranton.
It's not his Scranton. It's what he loved the most. It's his.
And also, why'd he go into movies then? Why'd he keep wrestling?
Well, people want to make money. People want to make money and be really famous and crossover famous. But here's the thing: when you're in WWE, and you perform in front of 20,000 people, like Cena wasn't going to come back to go to the Thunderdome. But when you become an actor and you make movies that you retake shots over and over again, I mean, I'll be honest: making movies is not the excitement people think it is. It's kind of a snooze, and
it's a lot of work.
That was not my experience with my movie, Grown Ups 2.
Well, that's
true. What are you talking about? I mean, you were gone the whole day for 30 seconds.
I enjoyed it.
So imagine if you're doing a whole movie and you're the star.
You know what? I'd be thinking about that big payday at the end.
But no, and so he gets the paydays. But then if you have the opportunity to get to come back and appear live in front of 20,000 people. Did you see the video of how people reacted?
Yes, I did.
Why wouldn't you want to do that? Right. You're not getting that when you're on set at Suicide Squad.
That's who he is.
It's who he is, damn it. You had him on center stage.
You're taking it the wrong way.
No,
I just thought that he's not doing well.
No, I'm looking at his IMDb page right now, and it looks like in 2021, he just was in the Fast movie, F9. He's in the Suicide Squad. He's in a comedy called Vacation Friends. He's in Peacemaker, which is a series. He's in a movie called Argyle. All big movies. All right. Argyle's with Samuel L. Jackson. I mean, he's got a lot going on, this guy.
All right. And I stand corrected. I'm sorry.
No,
I just asked a question.
No,
I
forgive you. You tipped your hand when you used about Judge going
back
to
swing. I'll give you a flip of the hand if you want. I can't ask questions.
Yeah, but you tipped your hand when you said him going back to Scranton. This
my
is
hand
not the minor
is never
leagues to
a
him.
Secret, okay? I don't have to tip it. People know who I am. They
right,
know
so
what I'm
about.
Right,
so you think that when he goes back to WWE to wrestle in front of 20,000 screaming fans, he's slumming it?
I think it's a step back, frankly, yeah. From being a movie star, yeah.
And I'd like to apologize. Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas has a roof.
Yeah, very nice one, too.
Right.
Yeah.
And a ceiling.
It's not retractable? What is that?
Well, let me ask, because it never gets cool in Vegas.
I guess you're right.
Let me ask you a question. Donald Trump is in the WWE Hall of Fame. He became president of the United States. You think he's going back to WWE?
He's not a wrestler. It's not in his blood. It's not what he's about. Like, he loves being a wrestler.
And I got to tell you, I don't know that he's turning down that invitation if it comes right now.
Yeah.
They have a big audience.
Very dangerous.
That's a big captive audience.
All right, now, I got our listeners are the best. So, Ryan, his Twitter handle is Dunder Mitlin. All right?
Okay.
He said, "Hey, Michael K., my grandparents and I are watching the show, and my grandma wants to know where your wedding ring is."
Oh, no.
She's a huge Yankee fan, by the way. Well, Ryan, grandma is locked and loaded. Let me tell you, this is the first time since I've been married that I do not have my wedding ring on. And the reason is I the story I told on Friday, I burned my hand getting a cup of tea out of the microwave, and I had to wrap all these fingers, and they were all swollen and blistered. So before I wrapped everything, I took the wedding ring off, and it's on a shelf in our kitchen, and
wow.
I will put it back as soon as I can get it over this swollen knuckle.
You know what, Don? That's the real sign that this is the Michael K. Show, and you and I are just, you know, we're just design objects. We're just here to fill in space.
Why?
Because when I was going through my divorce, I was fighting desperately to hide my hand that had previously had my ring on it. Don, and I was trying, when we do live events and I pose for pictures, I had my hand behind my back. Like, I was doing everything because I wasn't talking about it yet. But there was no way. It was easy to catch. No one said a word, Don. No one said a word. Michael comes out for 45 seconds. Oh, my God. What happened? Where's Jody? Is everything okay?
You realize that, first of all, it was a grandma.
Right.
Who had a hankering for some K and thought maybe,
just
maybe, he became available again.
Oh, you
because
think
the one
his
thing
grandparents,
that
his listen, grandparents, she's sitting with grandpa too.
Yeah, but you know, listen, that might have been an arranged marriage.
Oh, everything's arranged with you.
Well, I'm just saying that maybe she's ready to move on. I don't know. Maybe she's got a hall pass, and it's you. But the one thing that we have over you, Peter, is a lot of things that you do way better than us.
Thank you.
We are huge in the 50 plus.
That's true.
Community, and they're not interested in you yet. Now, when you get to a certain age like Michael and I, then people are going to be interested of a certain age, your availability.
I love the
but
old.
This woman saw maybe an opportunity and was really disappointed with Michael's reasoning.
Oh.
And this geez. Portion of the show is brought to you by Geritol.
That's not true.
Wow. Steve Brzezinski said Swollen Knuckles is a great book title. How about this from TP? Hey, Rosenberg Radio, is Michael K. a window licker? Perfect time for him to come back. Movie coming out soon. Already got a spinoff thing for his character. K is a doofus. That's
Thank
from
you.
TP.
Thank you, TP. You're a very, very good man.
Not that he's wrong. He's a very good man.
No, he made some very salient points, I think.
You ever get a burn, Peter?
Excuse me?
Do you ever get a burn, like a skin burn or something like that? It's brutal.
Yeah, sure. I've had some nothing. I don't think nothing that made me like take off a ring or anything.
No, all the things did.
Excuse me.
Sorry. See, Bear agrees.
Well, no, he's disgusted. He's disgusted by you. Thank you, Bear. It's okay. It's okay. No, I know he's not a sensitive guy.
No, he's a terrible man. He's a terrible, terrible man. Oh my goodness, that's funny. This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7. ESPN is brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company. Please drink responsibly. All right, so we put a lot out there. A lot.
Sure did.
Yeah,
a lot. Some would say too much.
Almost too much. You're right. I would agree it's too much. But anyway, now it's for you to chime in. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you. The gang is back together again on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Vacation friends.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
What is this music?
If you don't know it, then not the worst thing in the world to guess it's off his album.
Okay.
That's right. It's the intro, real late. It's a great
song. You've heard before.
It's doing quite well. People are loving this album.
You know the old saying: when you lose Cronkite, you lose America.
Yeah.
When we went to break off that last segment, Andrew in my ear just simply said, "You're a monster."
Thank you. You've lost Andrew.
I've lost Andrew, and that's concrete.
But there's a lot of things that happened in that first segment that.
That we'll think about years from now.
That would classify you as a monster. Which one in particular for Andrew?
Andrew, which one?
The wedding ring comment.
Yeah, bad guy. Really bad guy.
Awful guy?
I mean, we knew that already. You don't have human feelings. That's the problem. So I've given up on you.
I wish I can somehow correct that, but I can't. So the Tampa Bay Bucks are at the White House. And Tom Brady's doing, like, shtick and stand-up on the podium. But did you guys get a look at your good buddy Bruce Arians?
No.
What happened?
Sunscreen's a rumor to this man. He's red as a beet. Has he heard of 50-plus sunscreen, SPF? I mean, what are you doing? Has the guy had health issues, too? He's squeezing himself into a 42 suit when he needs a 48, and he's red as a beet. And he's got a cap on at the White House. Stop.
Well, what's wrong with wearing a cap?
It's so weird, the things that irritate you.
Take a look and tell me you're not concerned about the guy. He's as red now as when you are when you go off on one of your rants.
Some people, I'm not one of them.
No.
We didn't even hear what I said yet.
I agree.
Because my wife's like this. To get that burn... And then kind of build the foundation so that later in the summer you'll get the bronzing effect. But I don't want the pain and the sacrifice, so I just hide under the umbrella. I don't care that I don't have any suntan. So maybe he just wants to be able to build and establish a tan, and he's on the burn stage of it.
I think by July 20th, you got to have the tan.
He's such a good guy, though. Okay. As a matter of fact, I sent it to Peter because my pictures will, like, update, like, this happened 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was 4 years ago that he was in studio with us, and we took that picture. Can you believe that was 4 years ago, Peter?
I know. Time flies. And to think the good luck he had. You know, when we met him, he was a good former football coach. Now he's a Super Bowl champion, Don. Yeah. Is that a coincidence?
No, I think you guys get total credit for it. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Chet in Kew Gardens. Chetty, what's up?
Hi. Hey, guys. This is Chet. I wanted to talk about Steve Cohen a bit.
Okay.
I heard what Mike was saying, Dom, to some degree, about the way he uses his Twitter and that folks take it seriously. I live in Kew Gardens, 12-minute drive to Citi Field. I'm a couple of years younger than Steve. I love the guy. I get his sense of humor. I get that, you know, he's interacting with us as fans. He's not trying to be a news source. He's just poking us, tweaking us, prodding us.
Why is
he hilarious
fans?
When he went... Excuse
Why
me?
Is he poking his fans? I don't get it. What's the joy in that?
It's a queen sense of humor. I mean, he's just giving it. We're prodding him. We're poking him. I tweeted him the other day after the Saturday collapse, asking him, "Are we going to be sellers at the deadline?" Not serious. He's not selling. He's not selling at the deadline. It's just a give and take. It's an interaction.
You're
I think you take him too seriously, Mike.
Well, I'm sorry. He's a 16 billionaire. He owns a team. He's got to have some gravitas to him. Chet from Kew Gardens could make a slapdash comment about, "Are we going to be sellers at the deadline?" Steve Cohen is the owner of the team. He's not Steve from Queens. Steve from Queens is $16 billion in his rearview mirror. You think he acts that way with his hedge fund? No, I don't want to jump the guy. But, I'm not a Met fan. I don't care what he does. It just seems a little off-putting. Well, there's not another owner who does it.
And it's not a bad – it's hard to explain because people shouldn't take it as seriously as they do because it is supposed to be the toy store. But people do take it very seriously. And he may not think he's a news source, but when you're the owner of the team, you are. So, you know, like you said, you're getting prodded. You think fans want to get prodded? No, they want to know what's happening. When you look at the comments, it's not fun and games. It's he's asking questions. Should we buy now or should we wait till the deadline? I mean, those are legitimate things that are being talked about. They're rumored to be getting involved in deals. He's the owner of the team. He has to approve these deals. Do you think that a Met fan right now, with their team on the brink of collapse, trying to hold on to first place, wants to be prodded and joked about? No. I mean, they want to be taken seriously. They're fans. Now, maybe they shouldn't take it as seriously as they do, but they do. These people care about this team. And they want to know that something good is going to happen with their team, not to be made fun of or be the butt of a joke or be prodded or joked about. People are taking this very seriously.
Now, Peter, you have your computer or phone up. Did you get the picture of the White House?
I just did.
Okay. Now, is the case or off base or am I on base?
No, I take it all back. I would be very concerned.
This is not good.
Thank you.
I just tweeted that he looks like the wrestler Kane, who wears a red mask. I mean, he looks... I've never seen a human look like this. He matches his shirt, and he's wearing a maroon. And he's wearing a maroon shirt. Brady looks fantastic, though.
Well, that goes beside without saying, should I say. Wow. You know who he looks like? Ryan Hurley just brought it up. He looks like Deadpool with the mask on.
It's wild.
No, this isn't. I just thought, because you're a guy that did like an hour on the show about Tom Brady's wool cap after a game. So I thought it was that. No, this is real. I would be very, very concerned. And you're right. You do realize that he had two buttons, and the one button that's undone, like, shot and hit the cameraman in the forehead.
Yeah, the other button's screaming, begging for mercy.
No, he enjoyed this offseason in every way, shape, or form.
I mean, can he just – but to Michael's point, can he enjoy just a little bit of suntan lotion?
Yeah, just a little SPF.
A little sunscreen?
Yeah.
Probably a 40, a SPF 40 would
I think he's – right now, the way he looks, he needs 100.
Well, there's aloe that you need.
That's after you make the mistake.
And then there's burn unit.
Yeah, he's burn unit.
He's burn
like my
unit.
My fingers were a week ago.
No, aloe, forget about it. That was hours ago. He's going to have a skin graft.
Have you guys ever seen backdraft?
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you very much, Andrew.
Have you ever seen the backdraft? This is not good.
Let's go to Mark in Bloomfield. Mark.
Michael, Peter, Don, good afternoon. How are you guys?
Great. You?
Great. You know, before I get to my Met thought, Michael, I just want to let you know, I had the pleasure of attending your center stage for Bobby Orr, and it was a fantastic 2 hours.
Thank you.
And 2 hours of my life that I'm happy not to get back. So I just wanted to thank you for that.
I'm going to tell you a quick story that's in the book. All right, and I'll let you finish your point. I don't love hockey the way Don does. I don't know hockey a tenth of the way Don does. Maybe not even a 20th. But when we booked Bobby Orr, I said to myself, I've got to do my work because this guy deserves that kind of preparation. So I read everything, thousands of pages of research. I picked Don's brain, whatever. We did the interview. We're walking up the stage, and he says to me, boy, I really like doing the interview with you, he said, because I could tell you love the sport, and that means something to me.
I convinced
Bobby Orr that I love the sport. And that made me feel good
that
I did the prep work.
And what's funnier is I came to that airing with two Boston Garden chairs in the back of my car, hoping that he might sign them. But he got out with his entourage before I was.
They wouldn't let you bring it in. They wouldn't let you bring it in the audience.
I would have.
Should have gave it a shot.
But, getting to my Mets point.
Okay.
I wanted to get you guys' idea. Buster Olney kind of put this idea out there. I thought it was very intriguing to, instead of targeting Bryant for the Mets, to target Baez, who, I mean, I think right now the Cubs are tanking and everybody's on the table. I don't think anybody is off the table with them. But to have Baez, who's used to playing with Lindor, and there will be a spot for him after Lindor comes back. He could play second and play third. A lot of places.
Wait. How's he used to playing with Lindor?
On the Puerto Rican national team, I believe, right?
So I like the way you're thinking, Mark, but I got to tell you, you're going to have to give up a lot for Baez, and then you're not signing him. You're just not. So, I mean, Baez is going to want money comparable to what Lindor's getting. So even if he doesn't, let's say he gets $200 million for 7 years. You're not going to invest that sort of thing for middle infielders. So the Cubs aren't giving them away. You're going to have to give a truckload of – anybody the Mets get, like if they make a deal for Chris Bryant, they're going to have to give up a lot. Then you're going to have to sign him. And Chris Bryant's agent is Scott Boras, and he's not going to give you a discount. So
nope. It's
going to be very interesting to see what the Mets do. Do they pick up a shortstop just for the next 5 weeks? I don't know. Or do you put Peraza there? I'm not sure, Don, but you got to be careful what you do because you're going to have to give up a lot to get a player of that level. Javi Baez is a stud. Of all the players that the Cubs are jettisoning, they want to keep Baez and they want to keep Rizzo. I don't know if they can do it. They want to end up signing them, but we'll see. They might trade all of them, but I think they're going to try to get a lot.
And the problem is they've said their priority is starting pitching.
Right.
Which tells me that they're very dubious about the return of Syndergaard and what Carrasco is going to be in the second half of the season. I guess he's going to pitch this upcoming weekend, possibly. And they're not sure what they're going to get. And then when you look at what the first half was for Walker and Stroman, can you guarantee that they're going to be that good in the second half?
No.
Stroman hasn't been good in the last month. And now you've got your best pitcher in DeGrom on the IL. So and it's not like the Mets are deep in their farm system. So if you start throwing around prospects to get a shortstop for the short term or to get a second baseman that's going to leave in free agency, you've got to have something left to get a starting pitcher.
Yeah, it's going to be a real tightrope.
Yeah. And the reason Bryant isn't done yet because it's a perfect fit is because the Cubs are asking for the moon and the stars.
Right.
And if the Mets give that up, there might not be anything left to get a starting pitcher if they need it.
You're right. Hey, Jets training camp is back this summer. See the green and white get together and get ready for the 2021 season at the Atlantic Health Jets Training Center and at MetLife Stadium. Download your free mobile tickets today at nyjets.com/camp. Also, be listening later in today's show for your chance to score a family four-pack of front-row tickets to the annual green and white practice at MetLife Stadium on August 7th. Jets Training Camp is supported by Atlantic Health Systems, Dell Technologies, JetBlue, MetLife, and SAP. Don has the list, the Daily Don, coming up in just a moment right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hey, everybody. It's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
So hanging out today at Jiffy Lube for 2 hours plus.
Lube.
Just Lube. It's called Just Lube.
Just Lube.
Just a long time for that. I wasn't expecting that. Really got a chunk of my day. I was able to get some steps in, got some work done for the Sasso softball coming up on July 31st. Be there. Be square. Peter, are you in or out? I'll give you an out if you want.
What do you mean?
Well, are you in?
Oh, the game?
Yeah.
I'm in.
Okay, thank you. So we'll give you details on that a little bit later on. But so I decided to tweet out some ideas for the top five because it's been 16 months now. I'm starting to, it's wearing thin here. So I got a lot of great suggestions. A lot of them ended up being repeats, things that we've already done. But a few people, including Moose, came up with the idea since Jeff Bezos went to space today. What about the top five movies about space travel? Now, again, this is not Star Wars or Star Trek or anything like it. This is space travel. You're on Earth. You've traveled to space.
Well, Michael, you ready?
Yeah. Space Jam.
That's not what he was thinking.
I could tell, like, instantaneously this complete lack of engagement. I'll just read it off and we'll move on.
No. I would at least...
This is Andrew's idea to engage and get in the conversation. When Space Jam is your first guess, you're out.
No, he's out. He's 100% out. I'd like to present Apollo 13, please.
Apollo 13 is a great pull, Peter. I have it at 4. 1995, Tom Hanks, Bill Paxton, Kevin Bacon, IMDb rated 7.6. Of course, it's based on a true story. It also shows you how bad math can be a problem. Apollo 13, number 4. And why I'd never be on a mission, because I would make that same mistake.
How about Armageddon?
No, I didn't have it in the top. I'm a big fan. But they did travel to space, but no, I didn't think it was part of the theme of what we're looking at here.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's a good guess. I mean, I considered it, Jace. Because I wanted to be more specific to the space travel aspect of it. But that was more about just getting rid of the that was more about getting rid of the asteroid and playing Aerosmith songs.
I know. Which somehow in your list you made that seem like a good thing. But
I love the movie, but I wouldn't put it in a top five for this thing. It's not good.
And now, again, we're not talking aliens. We're talking space
travel.
I'm
not talking about science fiction movies. I'm not talking about aliens. I'm talking about space travel.
Gravity.
Michael, that's a great pull. I have it at 5.
Wow.
Now, a lot of people don't like this movie. I do. 2013, Sandra Bullock. And George Clooney, IMDb rated 7.7. A lot of people didn't like the ending. I didn't mind it. And I thought she was terrific in it. And I really enjoyed that movie, so I have it at 5.
Okay.
Great job, guys, so far. Sirs, this is a nice bounce back.
You didn't expect that, did you?
Well, again, the Space Jam, I thought that was Michael, you know, waving the white flag immediately. Michael's not interested in. Michael's not a movie guy.
I don't store them in my brain like you guys. Well, I watch them, and then I etch-a-sketch them. They're done.
Well, then that makes you a non-movie guy.
I love movies.
Don't do that.
I'm sorry, I don't sit there and remember everything.
I don't know this. I don't know that you put this in there. I don't know if you saw it. Astronaut.
I did not see it. Tell me about it. Is it worthy?
It was a 2019 Richard Dreyfuss vehicle from a couple years ago.
I'm a Dreyfuss guy.
I knew that about you.
Jaws, what about Bob?
How about Ad Astra?
Yeah, well, that's the Brad Pitt vehicle.
Yeah.
Didn't move me at all. I don't have it in the top five.
You didn't even see it, you liar.
Who are you taking out?
Well, that's
why it didn't move me to watch it.
I don't know if this would go into, you said no. What about 2001 Space Odyssey?
Yo, it's a great pull, Peter.
Okay.
And it's number one, 1968.
Okay. All right.
IMDb rated 8.3. It was my dad's favorite movie. This movie would make Michael's head explode because it's a deep thought piece at the end, which drove a lot of people crazy too. Something about space movies that you got to have wacky endings. This is the wackiest of them all, but the music's tremendous. And for a movie that was made in 1968, totally holds up 50 plus years later as far as the special effects are concerned. Stanley Kubrick vehicle, 2001, I have it at number one. So 2001, A Space Odyssey, I got it 1, Apollo 13 at 4, Gravity 5.
The Right Stuff.
We need 3, and we need 2. Now, listen, The Right Stuff is epic, but I don't have it in the top 5. 1983.
A jerk.
Did you even see it? And if you did see it, etch-a-sketched it out of your mind. A toy you probably couldn't afford when you were a kid.
I had an etch-a-sketch. I have one now, too. Interstellar.
Thought about that, too. It's a little long for my taste and a little confusing and wacky, but it's probably deserving in some people's list. I do not have it, but I do appreciate the poll. Matthew McConaughey vehicle, or McConaughey, however you want to say.
How about The Martian?
The Matt Martian, Damon, Michael, vehicle. I think it's very underrated. I have it at 3, 2015, Matt Damon vehicle, IMDb rated 8.0. Actually won an award, an Oscar for a comedy, because he was funny. And I don't know why they went there with the comedy aspect of it. But I thought it was a terrific movie. It was fun. It was well acted. I enjoyed that movie a lot. I've got it at 3.
So we have ball, all but number...
ball. Number 2, you're not going to think of, but it's a major part of my movie viewing.
Oh.
And it is basically based on space travel. The whole franchise is.
Planet of the Apes?
Exactly. Number 2, 1968, Charlton Heston, Roddy McDowall. IMDb rated 8.0. It all starts with space travel, right, Peter? They go into space, they go into a time warp, and they go to the Earth thousands of years later when it's taken over by apes. I've got Planet of the Apes at number 2. So Gravity 5, Apollo 13 4, The Martian 3, Planet of the Apes 2, 2001 A Space Odyssey, number 1.
Anybody notice what the Jeff Bezos rocket looks like? We'll just leave it there. 1-800-919-3776. I saw some people from NBC tweeted they could not get that past the censors.
Excuse me?
If it was a joke on SNL.
Really?
Yeah. It's so clear what it looks like.
You might find the picture hard to find.
No, I think you could find it. We've got a lot to do. The monster's going to come out at me right at the beginning of the next hour. Because I'm going to say something about somebody we work with that's not kind.
What?
I think it has to be said.
Oh, no.
So stay tuned for that. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you also. Big game 6 tonight. Bucks and the Suns. Win or go home for the Suns. Win and win a championship for the Bucks on, yes, the 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, Jets Nation, the annual green and white practice is back at MetLife Stadium on Saturday, August 7th. Join the team under the lights for a night of football, family, and fun. Download your free mobile tickets today at nyjets.com/camp or be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN, and you'll win 4 front row tickets. Again, the number is 888-987-3776. The green and white scrimmage is supported by Atlantic Health System, Dell Technologies, JetBlue, MetLife, and SAP. Now, Peter, I don't know how much of yesterday's show that you listened to, but Don really just completely sold out for Wischusen. From what people are telling me on Twitter, he became a golf fan all of a sudden. He backed off on, you know, making fun of Bob. It was not Don's shining moment. Let's put it that way. Bob won.
What a jerk.
Well, what really happened here?
Well, let's just talk to Andrew, because obviously Michael is just listening to people and hoping. Did any of the things Michael just described happen, Andrew?
Maybe not quite to that extent, but you did kind of soften on golf a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
You explained the genesis of your hate for it, and then it seemed like Bob talked you down a little.
So I didn't become a golf fan. I still do not like it and will not watch it, but the hatred, we had a nice little... a nice little moment. He acted as Freud. He opened. He allowed me to open up on some of the reasons why, and it was very cathartic. What else did you claim again?
Well, also with regards to Bob, that was one of the other things that you love Bob now, or that you were very, very nice to him. You were nice to him as you would expect, but right out of the gate, I think within the first minute of the show, you told him how much he loves the sound of his own voice. So I don't know.
Yeah, I said that right out of the box. You're right. Right, first thing. And he's like, "Well, it's a talk show. You don't enjoy hearing your voice." And I said, "Not as much as you. I don't know what else I'm supposed to do."
Wow.
And I don't say these things in a vacuum, Michael. There's an audience here. When I say things, it's probably going to get back to people if they're not listening on their own anyway.
Yeah.
So give me a break. I worked my ass off yesterday. Okay. I do a show. I think it was a very, very good show, according to Andrew. He told me so after it was over. It was very engaging. We touched a lot of different subjects. And then somebody on Twitter, some Yankee sycophant, who just thinks that you're the bee's knees. Oh, we desperately want you back, Michael, so we can break down the Yankee game from the night before because Donald Don wants to talk about our movies and music. Stop yourself. It was a quality show. You should have been a part of it. Maybe it was a quality show because you weren't a part of it. So stop with the garbage of what people are saying. It was a heck of a show. Bob did a great job. And be done with it.
Can you believe he talks to me like
that? No, I'm going to talk to you like that because you deserve to be talked to you like that.
I didn't
go on the air and oh, Don's a garbage.
Oh, no.
All right, how about that? So I coughed right to the microphone. I hope it irritated you to the point you don't come back. God, I worked my tail off yesterday. And you know what? It was garbage. And you know what? Fine. It's an awful show when you're not on, Michael. Thank you for being back and saving the show.
Wow. I didn't say any of that. What's wrong with you, you animal? You're like Bruce Arians right now.
You're going full Arians? Don't go full Arians, Don. You may never come back.
Goodness, you just don't. You can't even take any constructive criticism.
Constructive criticism—a show you didn't listen to—and one of your yo-yos.
I listened to the first part of it. You were very conciliatory toward him.
Oh, you're wrong. That didn't happen. Andrew just told you it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Conciliatory. I did exactly what I say about it all the time. We're having some fun with him. We got into the whole weasel shoes and impetus for that. We got into everything.
All right.
No, but you're right. It's when Michael's not on, don't even bother watching or listening.
Peter, now you let you be the arbiter. Did I ever say it was garbage? I just said he changed his tune. I never said it was a bad show.
Yeah, no, he did.
Never said it was a bad show.
That is an awful show. I would not listen unless Michael's on.
Well,
do yourself a favor.
That might be a good point.
Honestly, if it's just me, don't bother listening or tuning in.
Excellent.
Because it's absolutely worthless.
I don't agree with that take.
Can you believe how he's acting right now?
I didn't expect this. This is worrisome.
I didn't either. I didn't. All right, before we go to break, let me give you the Yankee starting lineup because it's out. Yankee starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea. DJ LeMahieu at first. Giancarlo Stanton will DH. Rougned Odor at second. Gary Sanchez will catch and clean up. Batting fifth, the shortstop Gleyber Torres. Brett Gardner's in left. Greg Allen's in right. Tyler Wade's at third base. Esteban Florial in center field. And starting for the Yankees is Domingo Germán against the Phillies' Aaron Nola. That's today's Yankee starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea is a proud supporter of the Michael Kay Show and the official hot tea of Joe Torre and the New York Yankees. It's amazing. It's amazing how I get spoken to on the show. Well, like I'm not worth anything. It really is amazing. And frankly, I'm tired of it.
But this is who you are. You're not a bad guy. So this is the thing. You aspire to be a bad guy who wants to have people around him who aren't allowed to talk to him that way? Like you're a deity? Come on, that's not you.
I don't want to be a deity, but I also don't want to be a urinal cake.
Oh, my God. Is that how you would describe what just happened?
Yeah. He talks to me like I'm nobody.
Well, you made up stuff.
I didn't make up anything.
I don't want you guys to fight this way. It makes me unhappy. And by the way,
I'm not fighting. Listen, I'm a rumor in August, so enjoy the show. I won't be on in August. It's a lot of vacation time coming.
That's good news
for all the Yankee fans who want the lineup and why aren't they bunting? And I hate the analytics and why can't they be more like Mickey Mantle and back in my day? You'll get lots of that. That should be fun.
You think I do that?
That's what they want. That's what they think they get when you're on.
Please stop.
And now you know what the kids feel like when parents fight.
I don't like it.
All right, the great L. John Wortham is going to come on. He has a new book out called Glory Days, the Summer of 84, and the 90 Days That Changed Sports and Culture Forever. We'll take a deep dive into that. Please stay with us right here on YES and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This
is the Michael K. Show.
Peter, I don't know how much of yesterday's show that you listened to, but Don just completely sold out for Wischusen. From what people are telling me on Twitter.
What a jerk.
Obviously, Michael is just listening to people and hoping.
Give me a break. I worked my ass off yesterday, okay? I do a show. I think it was a very, very good show, according to Andrew. And then somebody on Twitter, some Yankee sycophant, who just thinks that you're the bee's knees. Oh, we desperately want you back, Michael, so we can break down the Yankee game from the night before, because Donald Don wants to talk about our movies and music. Stop yourself. If it was a quality show, you should have been a part of it. Maybe it was a quality show because you weren't a part of it.
Can you believe he talks to me like
that? No, I'm going to talk to you like that because you deserve to be talked to you like that.
I didn't...
Go
I
on the air and... Oh, Don's a gumpy.
Oh, no.
All right, how about that? So I cough right to the microphone. I hope it irritated you to the point you don't come back.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
I want to apologize for that. That came out wrong.
It came out wrong?
Yeah, it came out wrong.
What was the intention?
To have some fun. That didn't sound like it was fun.
I got to tell you what, Peter. I was listening to. I'm not even going to talk to you. I'm not even going to address him.
Go ahead.
He's rude. He's obnoxious. He's an animal. He doesn't belong on Earth sometimes, the way he talks.
Well, what happened?
Well, nasty. You just said the way you acted just then.
I know. I was trying to have some fun, but I get irritated. No. I worked my ass off yesterday, and I get disrespected.
What, Bob didn't do his job? You had to work your butt off?
No,
why?
No. I mean, Bob was fantastic. But, like, again, you listen to these people on Twitter. Bob opened me up about golf. It was really a nice moment.
What? How? How?
Because you know what? You know what he did, Peter? He did something nobody has ever done before. He thoughtfully asked why.
We have asked him 100 times why, Peter. 100 times.
Well, there's
why?
The point. But listen, not everybody can be a psychiatrist. He sat me down on the couch. We opened it up. We got down to the root of the Tiger Woods thing, which was a comment, an anti-hockey comment that he made 10 years ago at the Buick Open. We got that out.
That you figure that's really going deep, because I never even knew there was a thing there.
Yeah, it was like when the Red Wings, it was probably like 08, 09.
And you felt it was your job to defend hockey.
The Red Wings are in the Stanley Cup, and somebody asked Tiger, because it's a big deal in Detroit, and when the Red Wings are in the Stanley Cup, asked if he had a prediction, and he's like, is that still a thing? Done. Cut him off,
right. Sure.
But I don't know if I've ever revealed that, and just it was a nice moment. I really had a good time yesterday, and I think the show went very well. And
so let's say that, you know, the powers that be come to you, right? And there's a whole shakeup at the radio station. And they go, listen, Don, we'll give you 11-2 with Bob if you leave the K-Show. Would you do it?
No, I'm on afternoon drive working with two of my best friends.
But you love Bob. It was so great.
I do
great.
Love Bob. I do love Bob. And being free after 2
sounds
would be
too.
Interesting.
Yeah,
but this is everything
appealing.
You dream of, to be on afternoon drive, to be on television, to work with you two tremendous talents. But if they told me, listen, the show's going away, Michael's retiring, Peter has won the Grammy, and he's going to move out to the coast, and he's going to start his own record company and all that. And they said, listen, we're going to dissolve, we're going to go network in the afternoon, and we want you and Bob to do a show 11-2. I'd be like, all right, that'd be great.
Natural next step. 1-800-919-3776.
I said it aloud.
That, why not? It's been done aloud.
don't make me laugh.
Hold on. Why is this getting worse again?
Laugh.
He is getting worse. And if you really want to get him really bad, Peter, say something that makes him laugh, because he can't control himself.
All right. How about that?
It's really like doing a show with your 89-year-old Uncle Murray. It's unbelievable.
This would not be an issue. I'm begging Rodney. Begging him. Send me a cough button.
We would see you cough on TV.
That's fine, but you wouldn't hear it. We
do
have an audience on radio.
You're hackamania. That's what you are. You do just cough.
Listen, it's only been 3 weeks. Dr. Max April said that it's a post-nasal drip.
Have you seen Dr. Max, who's an exceptional physician?
No, this is all diagnosed off the radio and television.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Dr. Max, you have to see this guy. He's been choking up sputum for the last 2 months. Listen to him.
Don, it's...
Look, listen to the phlegm.
No, this is the end.
Oh, yeah, it might be.
No, not of me, of the cough.
Why is this the end? You've been coughing for 2 months.
No, it's not. It's Peter. It's going on 3 weeks.
It's but 3 weeks is even feels like kind of a long time, no?
No, it's kind of a very long time.
Yeah, I've got some concerns.
All right. I'll go see a doctor tomorrow.
Thank you. Cool Mo D had a song about it. You know what it's called? Go See the Doctor. Perfect example here.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. I hope nothing's wrong with Don, Peter. Because then this will all come back to haunt us, the stuff that we're saying to him right now.
Well, it's the opposite. You know, he's got something going on, and thank God we pushed him to go to the doctor. And they go, oh, this is easy. Glad we solved it now. Boom, problem solved.
Well, if you think that... that hill hasn't been passed, and that's good.
Oh, God.
He's been coughing a lot, and he's diagnosing himself, having people diagnose him over the radio. I mean,
well,
what's
doctors.
Wrong with you? I know they're doctors.
Listen to the phlegm.
So the guy at Jiffy Lube, could he give you a lube over the phone? No, you had to go there. Am I like right?
Those like those numbers I used to work for at phone programs back in the day.
Right. Yankees and the Phillies tonight. It's Domingo Germán against Aaron Nola. The Phillies have won a four straight series, which is a big deal for them. They haven't done that like in 3 years. And they're breathing down the Mets' throat right now. And the Yankees, I don't know what to tell you. And this is not a representative lineup that they're running out there, but they're trying. And, you know, I thought they did a good job knocking off the Red Sox on Saturday and Sunday. And I will tell you this, and I will stand firm on it. I know I got attacked for it on Friday. When the Yankees are healthy and the Red Sox are healthy, I don't think there's that much of a difference in the rosters. I just don't. I think the Yankees just aren't having good years. I don't think the Red Sox are an exceptional team. I just don't. Sorry.
No.
They've got really good players. They've got, I mean, J.D. Martinez having an all-star year, Bogarts, Devers, I get it. But tell me the other great players on this team. I mean, they're a bunch of grinders. They've gotten decent pitching. Their bullpen is starting to tire now, but it's done a good job. But you can't tell me you look at that Red Sox team and go, wow, that's just a way better team than the Yankees. The Red Sox weren't even built to win this year.
But that happens. Sometimes guys underachieve, overachieve. I think you're going to see a different Red Sox team in the second half, but they might have built themselves up enough of a cushion to still be a playoff team. Now, we've had this conversation numerous times over the last few years with all the injuries, all right? But the Yankees have a lineup tonight that you really shouldn't feel sorry for. Right? The lineup's out.
Really? The bottom third is Greg Allen, Tyler Wade, and Esteban Florial.
All right. Well, Esteban Florial is not some – I mean, he's a prospect. All right.
But 211
think about
AAA.
What you just said. The bottom third of their order – but that's, you know, that's the reality for a lot of teams in Major League Baseball. But let's not let DJ LeMahieu off the hook. Let's not let Stanton off the hook, who was brutal this weekend. Brutal.
Yep.
All right? I mean, he's getting paid a lot of money to hit home runs, and he's not hitting them. DJ LeMahieu was a borderline MVP the last couple of years, has been a shell of himself. You know, Gary Sanchez is somebody this organization thinks very highly of. Gleyber Torres had a couple of home runs over the weekend. All right? And listen, Brett Gardner's a fourth outfielder, so I get that the bottom of this orders, but there's still enough there to be able to beat the Phillies tonight. There's still enough there to win your share of games. And you talked about lack of pressure on this team in the Red Sox series, and I agree with you. There's still pressure for the guys that are healthy and expected to produce while those guys are out. I mean, if you lose tonight, Michael, and LeMahieu, Stanton, and Sanchez are a collective 0 for 12, don't sit there and blame injuries. These guys should be able to hit and carry you through the next few games when you're waiting for Judge and Gio to come back. So, yeah, it's a bad 7-8-9, but there's still, you know, you still have professional hitters 1-6 that if they get the job done can beat the Phillies and beat the Red Sox and beat some of the teams they have to play.
I will tell you this, after watching them play, and again, those are two grinded out wins, I think that they still have a shot. And I still think they have an outside shot at catching the Red Sox too. I don't think they will, but they have don't dismiss it. There are four games with them starting on Thursday. Okay. You don't know what's going to happen.
The problem with that theory, it's not just you and the Red Sox.
I get it.
I mean, you got the Blue Jays and the Rays to climb over. So if the Red Sox find some medium here,
The next three after the four against the Red Sox and three against the Blue Jays.
No, I get it. But what I'm saying is if the Red Sox come back down to earth, it could be the Rays that take advantage of it, not the Yankees.
But then you keep your sights on the Rays. Well, you play them too.
We brought this up yesterday on the show. We had a caller say that – oh, that was Richard in Manhattan. Said that when you look at how they've played over these last few series with Seattle and Houston and the Red Sox, they've won three straight series. And they could do that in the second half. Well, there's a lot of second half left to do that. This is not the first time, Michael, they won a bunch of games. They've gone 8-2 over 10 games and then turn around and go 2-8. They've got to find some consistency here. And now's a tough time to do it when you've got a lot of guys that are out of the lineup, but it's not just about playing well for a week or two. It's about playing 650 to 700 baseball through the final 70 games of the season. And that's something they didn't do at all in the first half of the year and really didn't do at all in the 60 games last year. They only finished six games above 500. So they got to play out of their mind here. Have they given you any indication they can do that?
Just in that 123-9 stretch. The thing that really is positive about the Yankees is what their starters have done lately. So they've allowed two earned runs or fewer in 8 of 10 starts. Everybody wanted to jump Brian Cashman out getting Jameson Taillon. I think he's 4-0 with an ERA in the twos in his last five starts. Gerrit Cole has certainly quieted all the critics that he couldn't pitch without sticky stuff. He's had two outstanding starts in a row. Jordan Montgomery, he has that one bad inning that he has to eliminate. But if they can get back a Severino, if they can get back a Kluber, they're in good – I can't say they're in good shape, but you would admit, Don, they played worse than anybody thought that they were going to play this year. And they're two games out of a wild card. Doable. I'm sorry. It's doable. Hey, that's not the entree you wanted into the playoffs, but if it is the way you get in, then that's the way you get in.
That's a different conversation. I mean, you were talking about winning the division.
But I think they definitely have a good shot to get the wild card.
They're two back in the loss column.
Right.
They have
and then
an excellent
you play
shot.
A one-game wild card game, and you maneuver that Gerrit Cole's your pitcher, you like your chances.
Now, you may not have the luxury to do that because you might play right to 162 to just get that shot.
Right.
So you might have an opener in that game. Who knows, depending on how it goes. But whatever. Getting to the playoffs is not an impossibility. That's why Peter and I kind of laugh at the notion of how unwatchable they are and how miserable the year is. This team is still very much alive for a playoff spot. I don't think they're a championship team. Because remember, going to the wild card, making the playoffs, they've been able to do that the last decade. They haven't been able to win in the postseason.
Right.
So this team is still flawed and right now has to play some consistent baseball for me to think they can win a championship. But to get the second wild card, Peter, that's definitely doable.
I know, but... So they took 2 of 3 from the Red Sox since I was gone, right?
Yep.
Right.
They win yesterday, too? They play yesterday, too? No.
No, they were off.
They were off yesterday. So they took. Since we last talked, they took 2 of 3 from Boston. And Michael's back to saying that the division's in play? Stop yourself.
No. What do you have, like potatoes in your ears? I didn't say that. I said they're not dead out of it. I said it's unlikely they could catch the Red Sox. But stranger things have happened. They have a four-game set. Let's say they run into a four-game sweep. All of a sudden, what are you feeling? Because after Friday's game, where they looked lifeless and dead and showed no life whatsoever, you figured their season was over, that they had no chance at anything. And then they scrap back and win Saturday, and they win Sunday. So all of a sudden, it's 7, which is not insurmountable when you still have 2 months and a week left in the season.
Fair.
Yeah,
fair.
All right, maybe you weren't as over the top as Peter made it seem, but the fact that you think they're not dead –
they're not dead.
Yeah, because mathematics tell you they're not. Because teams have overcome 7-game deficits in a lot shorter time than what they have. You're talking about picking up 1 game every 10. They could do that.
Would you bet against them being in the wild card?
No, absolutely not. I would bet them to do it.
Right, but I would bet against them for winning the division, but I would bet for them to win the wild card.
But the thing is that still, the Red Sox are certainly a team that can come back to the pack. The Rays are the defending division champions. The Blue Jays are no slouch. Although they looked awful last night because the Red Sox got well again and beat up on the Blue Jays. You still have to climb over a couple of teams just to be able to get to the Red Sox in first place. And you've got to play much better baseball over a longer, consistent period of time. You brought up the, 23-9?
Yep.
All right? That's 32 games.
Yep.
So they can, over the next 32 games, win 23 of them. And the recent history of this team will tell you they'll follow up the next 32 and win 12 of them. and then go right back to where they were before. That's what Peter's talking about. We've got enough of a sample size here over the season to tell you that the inconsistency is going to bury them. This is not the first time we've talked about them supposedly turning the corner. And then what happens? They'll drop 7-9. And then we're having that conversation, Fireboone, Cashman doesn't know what he's doing. We've been down this road too much. So they're going to have to find it. And they're going to have to pretty much find it, Michael, I think, with the same team that they've had all year. We're not waiting on some, or maybe Severino can come back and help the rotation.
I think they'll make a deal. I really do.
I don't know
what it is, but all right, they'll make a deal.
I'm sure they'll make a deal. But do you think that's a deal that's all of a sudden going to turn them into a team that's going to win 7 of every 10 games they play?
Don't know. I don't know what the deal is, but I think they will make a deal. I don't think they're going to stand pat. I don't think they're going to sell.
No, they're definitely not selling. But and I don't think they have to really do very much to maybe get the wild card. But
it
if you
want
to win the division, then you're going to have to see a seismic change in this baseball team.
It is interesting, though, right? Because in this moment, we go, they're obviously not selling. They're obviously not selling. And no one has any issue with that. Let's just remember this. Because if we fast forward to the end of the season, and they're really not in contention, and the wheels completely fell off, it'll be like, wait, what happened to that moment when maybe they should have bailed on the season and really tried to start building again?
But this is a point that we talked about a lot on Friday. They're not a break-upable team. There's nothing desirable that they're going to be able to deal other than Aaron Judge.
But Judge.
But they're not going to do that. They're not doing that.
Just
it would be foolhardy
not.
To do it because, first of all, he's one of the biggest stars in baseball. He's having a great year. If you pulled him out of this right now to get young players, there'd be an uprising. And the better time to trade him, if you decide that you're going to trade him, would be during the offseason when 29 teams would be involved. Now there's 29 teams. All the teams would not be involved.
It's true.
This is not the time to make a trade like that, I think.
And they're
going to
do it anyway. There's no way Hal is going to say blow it up and have this team play 2 months of baseball where they're irrelevant. They're not built to do that. They're not going to do that.
But
if you're
going to
do that, you've got to be fully committed to doing it, which means not just selling pieces now, but revamping this entire organization in the offseason where you might have to settle in for 2-3 years of bad baseball. They're not doing that.
No, they're not doing it, and they don't have the personnel to do it. So if you take Judge out of the equation, who's clamoring for who? They're not trading Gio Urshela. That doesn't make any sense. And if you trade Torres now, you're trading him at 50 cents on the dollar. Rougned Odor has no value in the game. Luke Voit's hurt right now. He would be somebody that maybe could get something in the open market. Nobody's going to trade for Brett Gardner. I'm sorry. It's not break-upable. Stanton is untradeable. Gary Sanchez, maybe. They've hung with him this long. They finally tapped into something. Now they're going to trade him? Pitching-wise, Garrett Cole's not tradable. And you wouldn't do it anyway. So who exactly are you dealing? You could deal Jonathan Loaisiger, but that's the kind of player you want to keep. They're unbreakable. They're not like the Cubs.
But even if they were breakable, they weren't going to do that. They're not going to do what the Cubs are doing now. They're not going to do that. And you know why the Cubs are doing what they're doing? Two reasons why. Because they could sell out the ballpark even when the team is lousy. And they won a forever championship just a handful of years ago, and they got that forever championship by breaking it up and tanking. So they can do that. The Astros can do that. Yankees can't do that, Michael. You think the Yankees can go out there and play 2-3 years of meaningless baseball?
No.
They can't. That is not equipped to do it. You can't have a Yankee stadium with 10,000 people in the building, and that's the way it would be. I'm not killing the Yankee fan. Everybody can talk about how great they are with attendance. We saw it, Michael. If this team's losing 90 games a year, then nobody's going. And nobody's going to turn on yes, and nobody's going to listen on the radio, and they're going to become irrelevant in a town where you cannot afford to be irrelevant for any length of time. They're not built for that.
All you have to do, look at the year Don Mattingly hit 6 grand slams, and a couple of them were in the upper deck at Yankee Stadium, and it was empty.
And they weren't even that bad then.
No. They're actually a fun team. A lot of offense, no pitching. All right, 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you. We're waiting on the Met lineup. We'll give that to you as soon as we get it right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.